Welcome to Small Business Insights, where back office conversations give us insight to what's really going on. Is it grit or luck that gives a small business owner an advantage? Let's find out. I'm your host, Laura Fisher.
All right, welcome today. I have a special guest in the studio. We have Trevor Nels. So you are running for the Fort Bend County Judge. But before we get into why you're doing that, I would like you to tell our listeners who you are and a little history and why you would make a great county judge.
Well, thank you for that. I moved to Texas in 1992 to expand my law enforcement career. And in 1993, I was hired by Sugar Land Police Department, where I served for 20 plus years. I left Sugar Land Police Department as a result of being elected as the Precinct 4 Constable in 2012, and I served two terms.
So you were a police officer and then you changed to a sheriff?
No, a constable, which is a county employee.
Okay.
So county government has an elected sheriff, one of them, and then there's also constables for each precinct. So there's four precincts in Fort Bend that has an elected constable. I served as the elected constable, Precinct 4, which was pretty much all of Sugar Land, parts of Missouri City, and into the unincorporated areas along 99. So I did that for two terms up until 2020. So I've been in Fort Bend County 30 years, almost 30 years of law enforcement. I'm married, been married for over 20 years, and have three wonderful teenage children. Madison, who's 18 and attends Texas Tech University. Guns up.
All right.
And then Wyatt.
Must be a freshman.
She's a freshman.
Yes.
And then Wyatt is a junior at Austin High School. And my youngest son will be 15 in October. And he attends a private school. His name is Parker.
Are they busy children? Do they do sports and all that stuff? Are you chasing your kids as well?
Yeah, they're involved in sports. My oldest son, Wyatt, who's the junior at high school, he's plays volleyball. He's a part of the Houston Volleyball Association.
It's fast, isn't it?
Fast and exciting. I mean, because you just don't know what's going to happen. And some of the things you see on a volleyball court when they, you know, dive for it and get the ball straight up and the spiking, it's fun to watch.
I didn't know high school sports have that.
Well, they don't. That's why he's a part of a private
association
that does it. But I think that high schools in Texas or in this area should probably consider boys volleyball
in high
school.
Yeah, they do for women. They do for girls volleyball for high school. All right. Well, interesting. I know, you know, when you're a parent of young kids and you're usually chasing them while you're working on your career at the same time. So that was my experience.
Yes.
Had a Suburban for many years and it was the perfect vehicle when you've got four kids, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I got to meet you a couple weeks ago. Last week you came up to our offices to meet and greet some of the tenants in here. And I invited you because I wanted our customers to know why it's important to know their county officials and leadership and how it impacts small businesses. And you gave us a good explanation of why it matters. So before we go into, again, why you would be the guy, and let us know a little bit more about county politics and how it impacts us. Because as small business leaders, I think you mentioned we think government is taking care of our business for us.
Yes.
But you said that's not always the case.
Yes. As people live and work and raise their children in Fort Bend County, if they do happen to watch a TV program or read a newspaper or look at something online, the local issues very seldom get the coverage like national level issues. And what I see throughout Fort Bend County is most people do not really understand local government and how local government impacts their lives each and every day. And I, from my perspective, feel that it's the local issues that have more of an impact on their lives than national level issues. But it's the national level issues is what they're going to see on TV or online.
Well, if I watch the local news here in Houston, I call it the crime report. So the local news doesn't even make it other than the local crime.
Yes, I understand that.
So it's terrible. So, all right, let's go into what exactly is a county judge and how big is Fort Bend County? Kind of give us some statistics about that.
Fort Bend County is close to 900,000 people.
That's a huge.
Yes,
that's
it's huge. The second largest county in this region outside of Harris County. So Harris County is really the big elephant in the room with respect to the 12, 13 counties in this region, whether it's Montgomery, Galveston, Brazoria, Matagorda, Wharton, Waller, which are counties in this region. So Fort Bend's close to 900,000. It grows about 30,000 people a year, which makes it one of the fastest growing counties in Texas and across the nation. And there's reasons for that. There's a lot of positive things in Fort Bend County, why small business, big business should move to Fort Bend County. So the county judge is the presiding officer over what we call a commissioner's court. There are four precincts. Each precinct has an elected commissioner. And then you have the county judge, which is elected countywide. So there's five members of the commissioner's court. The county judge is the presiding officer over the commissioner's court. So that's the one primary role.
Okay.
The second most important role is, or another important role, is the county judge is the head of emergency management. So if we have a Harvey-like event, the county judge is the one to lead that effort on behalf of the county as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two primary functions. But there's so many other things that the commissioner's court, which the county judge is one of the members, budgetary process, establishing tax rate, determining where developments are going to go or road networks, things of that nature. It's a vital position in Fort Bend County. The current county judge looks at it more like a CEO, like you're the CEO of the county.
Contrast that with somebody, let's just talk about the city of Houston. Is this the same role as the mayor of Houston?
Very similar role as the mayor, specifically with budgetary process. Mm-hmm. And the mayor is the presiding officer over the city council.
Right.
So the mayor leads the council, the county judge leads the commissioner's court. But it's clear that municipal elections or mayoral elections are nonpartisan. They don't identify as our Republican or Democrat, when at the county level, they're partisan races, Republican or Democrat.
All right. So let's talk about you. You have more experience than just being law enforcement. Tell us about your education. You've also retired from the military.
Yes, ma'am.
So let us know a little bit that, because I think that will give us a clue of your leadership skills.
Well, in 1988, I enlisted into the U.S. Army because I wanted some assistance to help me get a college degree.
Okay.
So that's exactly what I did in 1988.
And where were you living then?
I was in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay.
So I joined the Wisconsin Army National Guard and went to basic training, advanced individual training, came back home, and then started attending college. And back then it paid 50% of the tuition, which was assistance,
right?
Assistance that I needed. So then in 1991, I graduated college with an undergrad in criminal justice from Wisconsin Platteville, little Division III school in Wisconsin. And then 1991, I had 3 years in the military, and senior leaders plucked me out of the platoon and said, we'd like you to attend officer candidate school. So that's exactly what I did, and then I became commissioned as a second lieutenant. So I went from the enlisted ranks into the officer rank, and here 33 years of service. Retired last August with the rank of colonel. I did multiple deployments to Iraq, Afghanistan, Arabian Peninsula, and I held commands at the company, battalion, and brigade level. Now, your listeners, if they don't have a military background, they may think, well, what is he talking about to hold command at company, battalion, brigade? Well, when you're selected or board selected to serve in command positions, mm-hmm. it means you're doing very, very well.
Okay.
You're sort of the top or the cream, and that rises to the top. And it did for me in the military.
Right.
So I'm proud of the fact that I was able to command troops at high levels, battalion and brigade level.
What's the difference, just so I'm sure I'm not the only one, when you're reserve versus regular, like Air Force, Army, is there a difference? Is it a time commitment? What is it?
A definite it's more time more than anything else, where if you're regular Army or active duty, you're doing it every day, each okay. and every day. If you're in the reserve or the National Guard, it's a part-time position, but it requires full-time attention. It really takes time away, specifically if you move up through the ranks. So for me as an Army reservist, when I had a battalion or brigade command, I was pretty much conducting some type of military business each and every day, but you weren't being compensated for it. In the Army, in the National Guard or the Reserve, you're serving 2, 3, maybe 7 to 10 days a month. It just depends on your position. It's more than just the weekend, like you would see on TV or radio. Right. Serve a weekend a month. Oh, no. It's not that today. Because our defense relies on National Guard and Reserve. I would say half of our combat power probably comes out of the Guard and the Reserve. They play a significant, vital role in the defense of our country.
I don't think I really gave it much thought.
Oh, indeed.
I know here in Houston, I see a base that you go to. I think there's something there that's interesting. What is it?
Well, so for example, your National Guard, like a member of the Texas Army National Guard, the leader is the governor. The governor controls a state National Guard, whether it's Air Force or Army Guard. So they're paid for by the state.
Okay.
Army Reserve are federal.
Okay.
They call Title 32 would be your Army National Guard, done through the state. And U.S. Army Reserve is Title 10, which is federal. So we report to the president. We're Army National Guard soldiers because there's a National Guard in each state.
Okay.
So you could say, I'm a member of the Texas Army National Guard, or I'm a member of the Idaho National Guard, or New York National Guard. So each state has their own National Guard. It's led by a two-star general, but they report to the governor. In the Army Reserve, it's federal. But reservists, whether you're Army National Guard or Army Reserve, deploy often, depending what your specialty is. If you're supply, if you're combat arms, infantry, an armor officer.
And you could go anywhere in the world?
And you go anywhere in the world. Because if you're called up, you're called up under Title 10 presidential orders.
Okay.
And that's how that works.
Has that happened to you?
Four times.
So this comes in to exactly why you would be great as a county judge when it comes to emergency management.
I appreciate that, I believe.
I mean, that is emergency management right there, and you lived it.
Indeed. What the military has taught me, and I retired at the rank of colonel, which is right below a general, a one-star general, is the military creates the best leaders in the world. Yeah. I just believe they do because they teach you to think critically and to think at a strategic level and to mitigate risk. And risk is important, and I would probably test that when someone starts a small business, they look at pros and cons and they evaluate risk.
Right.
Should I do this or should I do that? So whether it's running a small business or running a company of infantry in the Army,
you got to know supply and demand. You got to know everything.
And you must evaluate risk. So I believe that the level of training that I've received in the military, so I attended Commander General Staff College as an Army major. I attended the Joint Forces Staff College as a colonel, and I attended the U.S. Army War College as a colonel. These are strategic level training opportunities that most people will never have a chance to attend. So I believe with the strategic level training and my experience in being on a staff of a two-star general, working very high-level issues in the Arabian Peninsula in 2019 and 2020, I think that qualifies me, probably more so than anyone else, to serve as the county judge in Fort Bend County, knowing emergency management is one of the primary key roles for the county judge.
Right. All right, well, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about not only the emergency management, but your experience as a constable. Did I say that right?
Yes, ma'am.
You're a constable. And how that's going to impact your decision-making as a county judge. But let's just get down to why you should be elected. All right? So we'll be right back.
Thank you, Laura.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Today's podcast is brought to you by Imperial Business Park, located in Sugar Land. Grow your business here. Storage, office space, office warehouse units, U-Haul rentals, RV and service truck parking, refrigerated units, and more. All in one place. Imperial Business Park. We now return to your regularly scheduled podcast, Small Business Insights.
All right, we're back with Trevor Nels, and we're going to talk more, a little bit more about the emergency management and his history of being a constable and how that's going to impact the county judge role that he is seeking. So let's talk a little bit more about budgets, because when you look at, because you told me budgeting is a big part of the county judge. And so when you look at a problem and someone's coming to you, let's say it's law enforcement, and they say, oh, well, I just need more money. It's kind of like teacher union saying, oh, we just need more money. How are you going to approach that?
Great question. And everyone asks for more money.
Right.
So as the constable, I had to establish a budget. But each and every year as the constable, I would report to the commissioner's court, the county judge and the four commissioners, to get approval.
So you've been on the other side of the desk.
I've been on the other side of the desk. But I understand the budgeting at the county level, because I went through it for 8 years. Some years were better than others, but I had to basically plead a case with the county judge and the commissioners to approve a certain amount based upon what I thought were the needs of the office at that given time. I think what's going to benefit me significantly as the next county judge is I understand the budgeting process specifically for law enforcement.
Right.
So I'm going to understand it with the four constables. I'll understand it with the sheriff. My twin brother was the sheriff for 8 years in Fort Bend County. So I understand that. So I think that'll aid me tremendously as the next county judge.
Let's talk about why now. Why now is the time for you to do this? And I don't know if you want to talk about who you're running against, if that has to do with why now. So let us know why now did you want to run for this office?
And that is very good too, Lauren. I appreciate that question. Why now? Because now is the time. I've lived in Fort Bend County for 30 years. The current county judge was elected in 2018. His predecessor, his name was Bob Hebert, and he served as county judge for 16 years. But Bob Hebert and the commissioner's court had a relationship. There was good collaboration. The county judge we have today is more of he's sort of partisan, way too partisan. And I do not believe that the county judge needs to be too partisan, because you're addressing local issues, infrastructure. Crime cuts across every segment or swath of our society. It has nothing to do with partisan.
And we've had a rise in crime here.
Indeed we have. And the current sheriff, a Democrat, would tell you that. So when I'm out talking to people each and every day, I talk about bringing leadership back to the county judge's office, where we need to get back to the local level issues. We need to quit talking about these national level issues, social issues, which is what I feel that the Democrat Party, that's what they're talking about today. And they don't want to talk about the crime or the inflationary pressure that small business owners, no matter where you are in the state of Texas or across the nation, are experiencing. Mm-hmm. They'd rather talk about social level issues. And the county judge doesn't dictate social level. He should be concerned about infrastructure, roadways, clean parks, clean restrooms inside the parks. But the county judge and the commissioner's court do dictate your tax rate. And in Fort Bend County, our tax rate is going to remain flat this year. Though, if you have a small business or you're a homeowner, you noticed your appraisals went up.
Oh, yeah.
Which means you're going to be paying.
I mean, not like 5 or 10%. It was like 40%.
Yes. On average residential, I believe it's 29% increase. And if it's a business, it's 30.
Yeah.
So you're going to pay more taxes.
Yeah. Clever how that happened.
Yes. And you would
think, keep the tax rate the same, but.
Yes. And you would think that you would have seen a tax rate reduction, but it's not going to happen this year. Though the inflationary pressures impacting, I'm sure, many of your clients, you probably see it.
Yeah.
I know that those that I speak with on a daily basis in Fort Bend, the economy is the number one concern for them. Crime is a close second. People want to get up in the morning. They want to go to work. They want to come home, make sure their children are fed, schoolwork's done, spend some time with them. And it's It's Groundhog Day. Each and every day.
They can park their car and be safe.
But they want to live in a safe community. They want their streets safe. They do not want to worry about someone kicking in their door at 2 a.m. or someone stealing the catalytic converter from underneath their vehicle in the driveway.
Right.
And Fort Bend County right now is number 2 of the 254 counties in the state of Texas for catalytic converter thefts.
That's incredible.
It's horrible.
And it's not like a quick fix for that victim. It takes them a long time to get probably don't have cash to get the car fixed.
And it could be supply chain issues.
Yes.
So there's second, third order effects of everything that's taking place across our country. But there are numerous crises taking place. And I think people in Fort Bend County and across the state and the country are saying enough is enough.
Since you've been in the community actually patrolling and working, I would perceive you'd be more of a hands-on leader. Is that true than what the current county judge is?
I am a hands-on leader, but I also believe that you must allow department heads or the other elected officials to lead their organizations. You're going to get nowhere to micromanage. If you micromanage, I think there's so many pitfalls to micromanagement. My philosophy is this. If an organization is built or led on two fundamental key principles, one being trust, the second one being shared understanding. If you have trust in the organization and there's shared understanding where everybody's pushing the rock in the same direction, I believe your organization will flourish. If you do not have one or both, you will see stagnation. You will not see a synergy within the organization.
Right.
My intent as the next county judge is to bring trust and shared understanding back. And it doesn't matter what political side you're on, whether you're left or you're right, because we got to get back to the basics in Fort Bend County, get back to the local issues. Do not be too concerned about some of these national level issues. Like the current county judge sent a letter to the CEO of Disney a few weeks back, and encourage them to come to Fort Bend County. And I'm not against having big business, whether it's Amazon, big tech, coming out of California, wherever. I would encourage them to come to Fort Bend County. But he wrote the letter to the CEO of Disney the same day that Governor DeSantis signed the bill stating, I do not want a teacher teaching my third grader gender identity issues when I think they're concerned about what their snack is going to be.
Right.
Versus their sexual or gender orientation. But he did that.
Well, he must not have done it privately. How did you know about it?
Well,
did he make a big deal out of it?
It was all over the local stations. And I believe he got some national level attention for it, inviting Disney to come to Fort Bend County. What he failed to do is discuss it with anybody. He didn't meet with the other commissioners about it. He didn't meet with members of the, for example, Economic Development Council, any of the mayors. So he did it unilaterally.
He did it to get attention.
He did it to get attention, but it backfired on him, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because if the CEO of Disney showed up in Fort Bend County, pounded on his door and said, show me these 27,000 continuous acres to do this, where is he going to take them?
You can't.
That's exactly
my
point.
We'd be in a whole other city, a whole other county.
And that goes back to what I mentioned earlier with you, Laura, about being a partisan.
That was political.
That was extremely political.
And it wasn't looking out for the constituents here.
And that's why we have some of the issues going on in Fort Bend County. You got a sheriff's office that is 147 deputies short, 72 deputies in patrol alone. Now, that can impact small business.
Absolutely.
If you have thefts taking place, burglaries of small businesses taking place, who's going to want to come to Fort Bend County if they don't feel safe or they don't feel their business will be secure or the patrons that enter their business are going to feel secure? That's where we got to get back to the basics.
I like this trust and shared understanding. Is that some of your military?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so basic. You trust, you must share a base of what values that you all agree upon, and then you trust that you're going to deliver on that. How does that work out?
As the leader of the county, I will develop a vision. Mm-hmm. What I think should be short-term, medium, and long-range goals of Fort Bend County to make sure that everybody at least understands it. I'm sure there's going to be pushback against it, but at least if they understand the vision and goals and objectives of where you want to be, if they're doing it for...
And they're not going to sound political.
Well, some will. You're always going to have that partisan flavor intent to everything you do. I don't think you can ever get away from it.
Well, that's how people are going to hear things as well.
That's correct. But if it's more about the county and the state and the country versus, say, selfish promotion of yourself for selfish reasons versus selfless reasons. But I feel that once we develop the strategy and let everybody know where we want to move, because it'll be the voters that'll determine whether we're elected.
Right.
Or they want to continue on with the current county judge and his programs and his philosophy. But I think what we've developed is a strategy to get us to where we need to be in 10, 20, 30 years. I don't think he's thinking strategically. That's what we can do. And we'll put that out if elected around December timeframe, saying, hey, January 1, this is where we're going to go. And I think that everybody would be pleased with that strategy.
I get that. And I... doesn't the commissioner's court, don't you also look at land development and all those things? So that is very strategic, right?
Yes.
And roadways, where they're going, that's long-term stuff you're talking about.
Indeed it is. And they have to approve where those developments are taking place. They have to make sure that the infrastructure, let's say the road network, would accommodate a subdivision of could be 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 homes.
Right, all the drainage, everything.
Everything. Because drainage falls under Fort Bend, the engineering. So let's say Johnson Development, for example, or Signorelli, which is another large developer, they have to go through certain processes in order to get it approved. And it'll come to commissioners of court for approval if they want to build a massive neighborhood in a specific area of Fort Bend County. But they're going to have met with engineering, drainage, to make sure they get the proper permits, so on and so forth. But those departments fall under the commissioner's court.
And if they don't have a vision of where you're going, they could put something right in the middle, a land development in the middle of your plans that just screw up the whole plan.
We will be very cognizant of working very closely with the engineering departments, road and bridge, the engineering, drainage, to ensure that the long-term goals are being met and we're deliberate about it.
Right.
Because I believe you have to be deliberate versus just off the cuff. Okay, this sounds good. But that's what we're going to bring to the county judge's office.
All right. So, Trevor, yes. If someone wants to support you, contact you, how can they reach you and give you some feedback on your campaign and how to help you win?
Thank you for that. I have a website called at Trevor Nails, and Trevor spelled unique versus other Trevors. It's TrevNehls.com. So they can visit my website, TrevorNehls.com, or equally as important as the website, if not more important, if I may provide my cell number. Now, I've had the same cell number for over 25 years, and my phone goes off quite often. I receive a lot of text messages. But I truly believe that as an elected official, you need to be accessible. And my twin brother believes the same. And he's in Washington, D.C. as a congressional member. My cell number is 713-557-1243. Again, 713-557-1243. Send me a text. Say my name is so-and-so with the contact number. And I will get back to them as soon as I can.
And who is your brother?
His name is Troy Nails. He's my identical twin brother. And he's an elected member of Congress. He represents Congressional District 22, has parts of Sugar Land, about 60% of Fort Bend County is in Congressional District 22. And then he has Wharton County, Brazoria County, and Matagorda County. But he's a first-term congressional member. He does have an opponent this cycle, but he feels very comfortable in his race. So he'll be reelected, and he'll be a sophomore congressional member in Washington, D.C. Prior to that, he was the Fort Bend County Sheriff for 8 years. And prior to that, he was the Precinct 4 Constable for 8 years. So he's been in elected office for close to 20 years.
Wow, that also and impacts your scope and your values of where you see the county going, I'm sure.
Yes.
Because you see good politics, good policies, and you see bad policies too.
Yes.
Well, Trevor, I wish you the very best. I would vote for you. I definitely would, because I vote for leaders, someone who will take a stand, and you look like that kind of man who will do that.
Thank you,
especially
Laura.
Being in law enforcement, the commitment you've made to our country and your public servant all the way through. And I'm sure my listeners, if they could vote for you, they would definitely vote for you. If they can't vote for you, I'm sure he could use some campaign money to win his election. And I really appreciate you stopping by our studio today.
Thank you, Laura. It's an honor to be here with you. And I just encourage your listeners, if you don't live in Fort Bend County, I would predict they have a reach in Fort Bend County, whether it's family or friends, and they just encourage them. Hey, look at this Trevor Nails guy running for county judge.
Yeah.
Take a look at his website and just give him some consideration.
And when's Election Day?
Early voting starts October 24th. It ends November 4th. And Election Day is November 8th.
No, that's always on a Tuesday.
Yes, ma'am.
Tuesday, November 8th. All right. Well, until next time, you better be up to something.
Thanks for joining us this week on Small Business Insights. Make sure you visit our website at fisherpodcast.com, where you can follow the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform, so you'll never miss a show. If you enjoyed and found value in today's episode, we'd appreciate a rating and review on iTunes, or simply share it with a friend. That would help us out too. Make sure you tune in next week for our next episode. Until then, you better be up to something.